What's happening in Pakistan reflects a larger trend in renewable power in much of the developing world. Solar and wind are starting to take off, but not the way many green visionaries had imagined. Environmentalists have long encouraged governments to push big investments in renewables. They saw it as an important top-down way to avoid pollution from new coal-fired power plants. But Chris Flavin, president of the World Watch Institute in Washington, D.C., says that instead, wind and solar are often rising from the bottom up to fill a gap in the electricity market.
We're starting to see this more and more, the combination of the inadequacy of the conventional power supply in many countries, and it's very common throughout the Indian subcontinent. That combined with the very substantial increase in oil prices, since diesel generators are commonly the backup if you don't have the grid, the combination of those two things, as well as the significant improvements in solar, wind, and other technologies, are really now leading to a real takeoff in this around the world.
Do you have any numbers on that? I mean, how many individuals like Sarwar, whom we just heard from, are responding to the call for renewables?
There are no comprehensive global numbers out there, but I think it's clearly in the millions of households. In Kenya alone, it's estimated that there are about 300,000 small solar systems in place. And in fact, there are more people getting new power each year from solar than get it from grid extension in Kenya. So it is really starting to become quite widespread. On a global basis, this is clearly a relatively modest share of the total energy supply. But I think there's good reason to think that 5 or 10 years from now, the picture may look very different and a true leapfrog may begin to take hold in many parts of the world.
So what do you think needs to happen for the market for solar and other renewables to really take off from here in places like Karachi? I mean, are there things that governments can do other than making big investments themselves?
The first critical thing is the technologies themselves continue to improve and that the price continue to decline. I think there's a good reason to be optimistic there. We're seeing literally 50% growth rates in the solar industry worldwide. That's already driven down costs by 40 to 50% just in the last year and a half. I think government, to a large extent, simply has to get out of the way in terms of getting rid of the tax subsidies for fossil fuels. But beyond that, I really do think that the private sector has a very large role to play, and particularly the advent of microfinancing has been the key, because with conventional power or even with a diesel generator, you basically sort of pay as you go. With solar, there's no ongoing operating costs, but there is a very substantial upfront investment. So you need to figure out a way to provide financing, just the way we buy a house, so that you pay for it gradually. I think that's really one of the key things to get this going as a really viable business.
In rural areas, it's a pretty different picture where you might not even have a power grid to begin with. You've been kind of seeing lots of opportunities for this leapfrogging idea to take hold in rural areas. Is it starting to happen?
It is, and the example of Kenya, I think, is probably one of the best, though there are many other instances, including a lot of development in South Asia, Bangladesh, parts of India, Sri Lanka as well.
Are you saying that the Asian subcontinent could in 10 years potentially be ahead of the United States in terms of renewables?
Well, China actually already leads the world in renewable energy development. Now, China has both the largest wind and solar market and is now at the point where it's beginning to become not just a major manufacturer but also an exporter as well as a significant innovator in the technology. This is clearly important in terms of the potential for China gradually to shift from its huge dependence on coal. But beyond that, what China is doing is going to make low-cost technologies available, literally around the world. It will make it much easier for other countries to accomplish a similar leapfrog.
Chris Flavin, president of the World Watch Institute, speaking with us from Washington. Thank you.
Thank you.